Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
These are the headlines that made news in 1999. January 4th, former professional wrestler Jesse Ventura is sworn in as governor of Minnesota.
January 21st, in one of the largest drug busts in American history, the U.S. Coast Guard intercepts a ship carrying 4,300 kilograms of cocaine.
February 12th, U.S. President Bill Clinton acquitted by the Senate in his impeachment trial.
March 8th, the Supreme Court of the United States upholds the murder convictions of Timothy McVeigh for the Oklahoma City bombing.
April 20th, Columbine High School massacre. Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold killed 13 people and injured 24 others before committing suicide at Columbine High School, Colorado.
May 21st, All My Children star Susan Lucci finally wins a Daytime Emmy after being nominated 19 times, the longest period of unsuccessful nominations in television history.
June 19th, at about 4:30 p.m., Stephen King is hit by a car on the shoulder of Route 5 in Lovell, Maine. He would suffer numerous injuries, including a collapsed right lung, multiple fractures of his right leg, scalp, lacerations, and a broken hip.
July 16th, John F. Kennedy Jr., his wife Carolyn Bessette Kennedy, and sister-in-law Lauren Bessette were killed in a plane crash off the coast of Martha's Vineyard. The Piper Saratoga aircraft was piloted by Kennedy.
August 26th, Michael Johnson breaks the 400-meter world record with a time of 43.18 seconds.
These are the headlines that made the year 1999. And in 2024, you're listening to XY Podcasts. The biggest thing that I remember from that year was actually the Columbine shooting. That was, it's sad now that spree shootings commonplace, so common that we're actually starting to get used to them, which is
very uncomfortable.
That's monumentally sad.
Yes,
that's definitely. It's sad that the things that we start getting used to, and we turn on the news and hear about it again, and we're just like, oh, another one. You know, it's just like an unarmed person being shot by the cops. You know, it's become so commonplace that we're like, oh yeah, another one. And these things should really not be getting old, but when people are shooting up schools where there's kids, especially when it's like little kids.
Yeah, like it wasn't long ago. It was like fourth graders.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you should arm the teachers.
That is, and that's an interesting controversial discussion. So as a officially a non-gun holder, I guess technically speaking, I'm a gun owner. I've got a shotgun, but as probably a non-gun older gun owner, I can't really say I've got skin in the game, but I do feel like the constitutional right of everyone to have a gun, to have a weapon, should be tempered by the fact that not everybody has the right frame of mind or the right mindset to use a weapon.
Correct. Yeah.
You know, so like I said, I mean, most of the people that I know who own guns are responsible gun owners. And you know, if I was in a workplace situation where somebody came in and had lost their mind and wanted to shoot everybody, and one of my buddies was there who had a weapon, I would trust that we'd get out of it because most people that I know who have guns know what they're doing. But, you know, thinking back to when I was in elementary school, if my third grade teacher was strapped, you know, I think we probably would have gotten out of it. If my fourth grade teacher was strapped, we definitely would have been okay. My first grade teacher, not so sure. I don't remember her as well. But the point being was, yeah, I don't know that I would be willing to put guns in just the hands of anybody.
Right. I know when I was going to high school, you were allowed to have a shotgun or a rifle rack in the back of your truck, as long as your vehicle was locked and you didn't go to it during any, you know, any time unless you were going home.
Sure. Sure. And I mean, you know, the whole notion that there should be some kind of a contingency against, you know, a student coming in and deciding, you know, today's the day and I'm going to rack up a body count before I take myself out. You know, there should be some kind of a contingency in place. And, you know, and you can't just say, well, you know, we'll keep people from getting guns. Obviously, that's going to be naive. You're not going to get people who want guns who aren't supposed to have them from having them.
Exactly.
You know, excellent example, Eric Harris and Dylan Klebold, they took their parents' guns into the school, which I believe their parents actually had to face charges behind that, and rightfully so. But, you know, by that point, it's too late. So now you've got, you know, live shooters in an environment where it's just, you know, all victims. So what do you do?
And what was really messed up is they made a video right before they walked into that school, and it spawned a documentary.
Didn't they try to say that they were influenced by the shootout from The Matrix?
I believe so. I know Bowling for Columbine, that documentary will explain it.
You know what? I've never seen that documentary, Michael Moore's documentary.
Mm-hmm.
I should probably circle back to it at some point. Yeah, I mean, gun control has always been, you know, a hot topic. You know, once again, me kind of being a card carrying moderate, you know, I'm not going to say, you know, that I'm, you know, falling on one side or the other, because, you know, as a moderate, I advocate for the rights of anyone who knows how to use a gun, knows when to use a gun, to have a gun.
Right.
You know, as somebody, once again, who is really not a gun owner, you know, it doesn't really bother me if, you know, if I see a guy strapped in Walmart, you know, hey, I figure that, you know, if so long as he's not, you know, he's not brandishing it like in the diaper aisle.
Right.
You know, I mean, I also know that I'm not going to say anything to him like, dude, your shoes suck. You know, like I said, I went to school with enough guys who, you know, had weapons. Actually, one of my fraternity brothers had a 6 foot high locker filled with weapons. It looked like he was prepared for Armageddon.
But bring on the apocalypse.
But he knew how to handle his weapons. And, you know, ever since, and everybody who I've ever met since then who was a gun owner, they, you know, they respected the potential destructive force of the instruments that they owned.
Exactly.
You know,
you should properly educate your kids on it if you have kids with weapons in the house.
Yeah, if you're going to have weapons in the house, you definitely need to make sure that your kids understand what they are, understand when they get to the right age how to use them, and you need to make sure that they are unloaded and properly stored. You know, and it's the same thing. If you and it really is, in my opinion, the same thing is not everybody is fit to drive a car. I mean, it's one of those things where most people, you know, can. A lot of people do. But we all know that, you know, even just driving to the local Piggly Wiggly, you see people in cars who probably shouldn't have their licenses.
Or people that drive on back roads. I'm not going to name any names on that one. Anyway.
you can when we stop recording. But
have you noticed that states with the highest or the strictest gun laws are the highest in crimes, such as Chicago or Illinois?
It's one of those weird ironies. It's kind of like the, you know, the United States has like the strictest, you know, alcohol laws. You know, you can't drink till you're 21. And what is like in Europe, you can, you know, kids are drinking like wine with the family at the table.
Yeah, like 16.
But we have problems with alcoholism here, and they don't, you know, which you would think it'd be just the opposite, but it's not.
Right. Just like this whole legalizing weed thing. I mean, first we should probably learn basics first.
Well, I mean, I suspect that when you first legalize it, you know, and by the way, I'm not a, as someone who is not a smoker of the, as what our one friend calls it, the devil's lettuce, you know, let's just say I don't have a dog in the hunt.
Right.
But I suspect that, when it's first legalized, you're going to see a whole lot of people getting as high as kites. And then, you know, once it's readily accessible to everybody, you know, at the corner store, people are just, it's going to equalize and it's not going to be as novel anymore. It's not going to be the, you know, the taboo that it is now. And, you know, folks will probably settle into a rational, realistic use of it.
Right.
But I mean, I can't imagine that, you know, legalizing it will mean like you're going to give it to your 12-year-old.
Daddy, I got glaucoma.
You know,
prove it.
But I mean, the reasons for it not being illegalized probably have less to do with health reasons and more to do with, you know, the financial control of it.
Right.
That's a whole other conversation for another podcast.
Right.
And when we do that one, we will have to have a certain person on for that one.
Oh, that one will be interesting. Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm curious of what he was saying.
Yeah. Let's just agree that when that discussion comes up that we have him on.
Yeah. That's a definite.
But 1999 was interesting for other reasons as well. I mean, not just the, you know, the entertainment. And I don't know how much you remember about the whole Y2K scare.
Oh, I remember that like it was yesterday.
Folks were like, pretty much, you know, it's going to be the end of, you know, modern civilization as we know it. You know, once the clock strikes 2000, everything's going to shut down and lock up because VCRs, computers, clocks, cars, yeah. You know, computers running dams and industrial military complexes, they're all going to shut down because they don't know what 2000 means.
You know, we actually had a countdown generator on our computer. You know, I'm 11 years old. My brother, he's there. And we're like, all right, let's wait until the computer just completely blows up.
Ah. So you said you had some movies for 1999. It was if I recall, it was a jam-packed year of entertainment.
A very good year.
I'm sure we're going to have some duplicates, but I think I'm going to have some on my list that you're not going to have. But I think it's your turn to go first.
All right, let's start with my least favorite. We'll go from 10 to 1. Number 10, I have Universal Soldier, The Return.
Okay.
The first one was really good. This is the second one. This is the sequel to it. The only thing I remember from this movie is Bill Goldberg's in it. And he spears someone through a wall. It was great.
Yeah, I remember Michael J. White played an android. I can't remember his character's name.
Yeah, and it was a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. Michael J. White played the bad guy. He played the... He was the embodiment of an AI system that Van Damme's character created. Right. And I mean, you get a lot of mileage. I mean, Michael J. White is so good of a martial artist, and he's not a bad actor either. So you get a lot of mileage out of him being in a movie, no matter how bad that movie might suck. And mind you, you know, unlike, you know, he doesn't have like the Denzel factor where like he kind of elevates the movie to a status that it's watchable. as good as Michael J. White may be, he's been in some real turkeys. And unfortunately, he can't save a really, really bad movie. He's just like, oh, well, he's on screen. I'll be able to stomach this next scene because he's in it. And
this will be all right.
The martial arts will be good because he's a fantastic martial artist, even at his current age. But okay, and once again, I ran my mouth. So
good.
Number 10, Universal Soldier, The Return. Number 9.
Number 9 is Superstar with Molly Shannon and Will Ferrell.
You know what? I'm not familiar with that one at all.
She plays Molly Shannon plays like a geek, nerdy kind of girl trying to get into the, what are they called? Have you ever seen the movie Bring It On? The cheerleading competitions?
Yeah.
Yeah, she's kind of trying to get into one of those. And Will Ferrell's her coach.
Huh. Okay.
It's just a funny, cheesy comedy. And number 8, it's Kiss.
Want to make a difference in your community but not sure how? Go to GoFundMe.com right now and start a GoFundMe. Seriously. Your next fundraiser doesn't have to start in a school parking lot or a church basement. You can start a GoFundMe today in just minutes. Fundraise for yourself, a friend, or family member, or an organization. All that matters is that you care about them. GoFundMe is the trusted place to fundraise for what you care about. With no pressure to hit your fundraising goal, but tons of tools to help you reach it, you can confidently start fundraising right now. Whether it's creative, local, or critical, your cause matters. And there's a reason why GoFundMe is backed by millions and chosen by fundraisers everywhere. It works, and it matters. GoFundMe helps you make a real difference. Start your GoFundMe today at GoFundMe.com. That's GoFundMe.com. GoFundMe.com. This is a commercial message brought to you by GoFundMe.
Detroit Rock City, the cartoon.
Well, not familiar with that one either.
I saw it and I saw the picture of it and I was like, yeah, that's something my dad would want on here. So I put it on the list.
Okay, fair enough.
Number 7, House on Haunted Hill. Had to be on here.
That was the one with Taye Diggs, right?
Right.
Okay, I did see that.
Number 6, I saw this in theaters when I was 11. 10, sorry, 10. The Blair Witch Project.
Okay. Yeah. Well, yeah, that had to be on the list. It had to be.
It's, you know, I would rewatch that movie.
Well, I've been vocal in the past about how I feel about found footage movies.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't like the found footage genre. It's been overdone and it's been an excuse for lazy filmmakers to put something out.
Right.
But the Blair Witch Project, as well as the first, well, I have to say even the last Paranormal Activity movies, didn't phone it in.
Right. The Blair Witch Project, I think the next one that I liked was the Paranormal Activity movie.
Yeah. Well, it was well done. It looked like it could have been what it was pretending to be.
Yeah.
So.
But could you imagine being 10 years old watching that in theaters?
No. But I mean, I guess I could appreciate it. There was a movie called It Came From Hell, which I dubbed the Tree Monster because I saw it when I was 4 years old. It was about and I didn't really know this because I didn't care about the details. I just know that it was about a tree monster, but the tree monster would come and grab people and then drag them to the quicksand. And as a 4 year old, that movie's
terrifying.
Oh, as a 4 year old, there was nothing scarier. If, you know, my mother wanted me to eat my vegetables, she's like, you better eat your vegetables or the tree monster is going to come and snatch you out of your bed.
Oh, they gone.
The plate was clean. Meanwhile, if you can find It Came From Hell, it is one of the cheesiest, campiest, dumbest looking movies you've ever seen in your entire life. It is. It's on lists for how bad it is. But back when I was 4, it didn't matter. The tree monster was it. That was the definition of horror for 4 year old me. So I can appreciate what like Paranormal Activity would do to you, the average 10 year old. So
right.
Yeah, 10 year old Sam gets a pass.
Well, I appreciate that. Number five, The Mummy with Brendan Fraser.
Okay.
Yeah, you can't beat the original. After that one, I didn't much care for him.
Yeah, no, I get that. But that had to be on the list as well.
Yeah, it's classic. Number four, Any Given Sunday.
That surprises me that made your list.
Really?
I have that on mine. I didn't think that was going to make it onto your list.
Oh yeah, I love that movie.
Okay.
Actually, I just watched it like a week ago.
Oh, okay. Yeah,
they play it on repeat for some reason on CMT. I don't know why, but this one I know is on yours. Number three, The Green Mile.
Yeah. Yeah, it's on mine.
Yeah. Poor John Coffey.
Leave the light on at bedtime.
I'm sorry, boss. And number two, Big Daddy.
Oh, Adam Sandler.
Yeah, any Adam Sandler movie, I think's gold. And my number one pick, Bicentennial Man.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, Robin Williams.
I have a soft spot for that movie. I do.
I do too. Big one.
You know what? It didn't make my list, and I think it's probably because it probably would have made my honorable mentions. I don't think I remembered it was a 1999 film, or if it came up in my research, it was some reason that I didn't put it on the list. But you know, I liked it, and I did enjoy it. It was a sincere movie. I think it didn't shy away from kind of being heartfelt.
And even though he was a machine, it was still funny. He's like a comedic genius still.
Robin Williams was a comedic master.
Yeah. Oh, and I have a worst movie of 1999.
Yes.
This one, just the artwork of it, you have to see it. It's called Baby Geniuses.
I seen it. I saw Baby Geniuses. So, with my 10, there are going to be a few duplicates, but a lot of ones that are going to be unique, as I suspected. So, really quick, my number 10 pick is Arlington Road, which is a story about domestic terrorism. It starred Jeff Bridges, Tim Robbins, and Joan Cusack. And it was a kind of a really slick psychological thriller, but once again, it was about domestic terrorism. Mm-hmm. But it was directed by Mark Pellington, and for me, that was really cool because Mark Pellington actually directed the movie that I was in a couple of years later, which I'm not going to mention by name because I'm pretty sure at some point it's going to come up on the podcast, so we'll talk about it then. But I got a chance to meet Mark Pellington, and obviously I worked with him because he directed me. But I was just like, dude, Arlington Road rocked, and I thought it was slick, and it was kind of cool to meet somebody who had done something that I thought was really slick.
Right.
And you know, I could honestly say I really thought that the movie was good. You know, and I wasn't like just kissing his butt because I was working for him at the time. You know, it was just a really cool flick. But my number nine pick was, and this one surprises me even to this day.
What's that?
It's For the Love of the Game.
You know, I saw that one on there.
And I really liked that movie. I really kind of dug it. And by that point, I was really kind of over the Kevin Costner baseball thing. Kelly Preston was really good in that movie as well. And it was the first thing I had seen J.K. Simmons do that I didn't hate him, like as a character. Because up until that point, you know, this was before, I think, J. Jonah Jameson and, you know, J.K. Simmons becoming like a household name. The only thing I had seen him do up to that point, aside from some recurring guest spots on Law and Order, was he played Schillinger and Oz, which we talked about on the podcast before. Mm-hmm. Schillinger was a white supremacist in the prison, and he was just straight up evil. He was the embodiment of evil.
Satan prodigy.
He made Darth Vader look like a Girl Scout. Schillinger was just nasty, and J.K. Simmons completely convinced you that there was nothing redeemable in him at all. And then he played this, you know, really cool, sympathetic character in that movie. But yeah, I really liked For the Love of the Game.
Yeah, and Kevin Costner is one of my favorite actors, top three.
And he was good in it, of course.
Oh, yeah.
My number eight pick is Being John Malkovich.
Oh, interesting.
Which, you know, once again, kudos to everybody in that movie, especially John Malkovich for playing himself. My number seven pick was the remake of The Thomas Crown Affair with Pierce Brosnan and Rene Russo. It was directed by John McTiernan, who directed Predator and Die Hard and a few other movies. The Hunt for Red October was probably my favorite John McTiernan movie. But
that's
the Thomas,
a good movie.
The Thomas Crown Affair, I thought it was good and it was slick. And it was cool to see Pierce Brosnan do something else besides Bond, because at that point he was Bond. Number six, one I'm a little surprised didn't make it onto your list, but I guess I can understand why it didn't. And that was Fight Club.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I saw that on there too. I've seen it, and it's a good movie. You just don't watch it past the end credits.
Number five, Toy Story 2.
I'm surprised I didn't pick that one.
Yeah, because I tell you what, I saw Toy Story 2 with the family in the theater. I recall up to that point, I had never laughed so hard in the theater in my life up to that point. And in retrospect, I'm not sure that I have laughed harder since. That movie had me howling. I was in stitches. Number four, The Green Mile.
Love it.
Which was also on your list. But as I said before, any movie that can make my grown ass cry. Number three, Galaxy Quest. Number two is The Sixth Sense. My honorable mentions. Of course, we talked about the Blair Witch Project. The Hurricane with Denzel Washington, based on the real life false
basketball
incarceration.
Team, right?
No, boxer. Oh. The Hurricane was based on the life of Reuben Hurricane Carter, who was falsely imprisoned for murder.
Okay, I'm thinking of a different movie.
Yeah, and then he was finally exonerated. It was directed by Norman Jewison, and Denzel was nominated for it, but he lost that year to Kevin Spacey for American Beauty.
What?
Yeah, I said the same thing that year. I was like, nah, that's...
No. That's but when anyway. I stopped watching.
But Hurricane was good, and like I said, it was based on a real story. I don't know when, I believe Reuben Hurricane Carter maybe has passed away now, but he was alive when the movie came out. Another honorable mention, Any Given Sunday, which we talked about, and another one which I'm wondering if maybe you missed this one or just kind of you've forgotten about it, but Life.
Oh,
Eddie Murphy, Martin yeah. Lawrence. Yeah.
You gonna eat that cornbread?
You gonna eat your cornbread?
Yeah, I'm gonna eat my cornbread.
You can't have my cornbread. He didn't get my cornbread. Existenz, which was Jude Law, directed by David Cronenberg. It's a weird movie, but it was really well done. The Mummy, of course. And as controversial as my top pick is, my number one pick for 1999 just completely blew my mind and changed my perspective as a filmmaker, because I could see that they were influenced by a lot of the same things that I was influenced by as a filmmaker. The Matrix. So 1999 also had some interesting TV premieres. So I cheated a little bit. Instead of holding it to five, I think I've got six. Shame on me.
I have six as well, but five of them's on the list. One of them's a worst show.
Fair enough. That's probably the way you should do it. You did it the right way. But what are your TV picks?
All right, starting off with, I'm going to go to one to five this time.
Okay.
Number one, my absolute favorite. I still watch it to this day, and it came out in 1999. Family Guy.
Yeah, thought about putting that one on, but I said I don't watch it consistently. But you have to. It should definitely rank on a list because
at some point every day it is on the TV. at some point,
and it influenced the culture. You've heard. Don't tell me you haven't heard.
About the word?
The word. You know what the word is. The bird. The bird. Right. The bird's
bird is the word.
The bird, bird, bird. Bird is the word.
By the end of that episode, Lois is like, oh my God.
Like, so Brian, I thought you'd heard about the, what word?
Don't.
Brian, no. Okay, man. Family Guy. All right, number four.
Oh, number two. We're going up the list this time. Two.
Okay.
Number two. This is how, you know, people shake hands.
Yes.
Well, me and my mom, when I was 10 years old, we did this thing with our hands. We would put our fingers like together and go woogie 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 because of this show. This show is called Rocket Power.
Oh. Not familiar with that one at all.
It's just a group of friends from, I believe, California. They were all surfers and...
Rocket Power. All right.
Number three may not be so kid-friendly. It's called Ed, Ed, and Eddie.
I know of this show.
Yeah. Especially when they talk about their wooden plank. I think his name's Planky or something like that.
I think my kids might have watched Ed, Ed, and Eddie, but I don't know if they were kids at the time.
So number four, I don't really watch this show. I've seen a few episodes of it. I didn't really see the big thing with it. It's Futurama.
Oh, yeah, I watched all of the episodes of the original run. I binged it. It took a couple months to do it. I haven't watched any of the new episodes from the resurgence when they brought it back.
Yeah, I haven't seen the new ones either. And you're going to like my number five pick.
Okay.
Little Bill.
Wow. Are we even allowed to put him on, put that on now?
Oh, I don't know. And I have a worse show.
Yes, I was waiting to hear what that is.
Oh, God. Okay. This one, I can't really stand this show. It's a Digimon Adventure.
Okay.
And I have been a lifelong Pokemon fan since 1996.
Is it just Digimon itself that you don't like as a kind of like a bad clone of Pokemon, or was it that version of Digimon? Okay.
It's like Pokemon came out and then maybe 3 years later, this Digimon comes out and they look like a Temu version of Pokemon.
My TV picks are, I'm actually, no duplicates this time.
Oh, wow.
So... in the animated world, I was a fan and watched all the episodes I can think. I think I saw all the episodes of Batman Beyond, which was made by the same people who did Batman the Animated Series, and Kevin Conroy came back to play an aging, like 80-plus-year-old Bruce Wayne, and he took on like a new young mentor who had an advanced Batman suit in like future Gotham.
That sounds interesting.
I think you can still watch it on Max, I think, because it's going to be one of those Warner Brothers animated cartoons. And there was talks that they were going to do a live action version, but I don't know if they got any momentum behind it or not.
Yeah.
My number two pick was The Sopranos, which I liked up until the very last scene of the very last episode, which I think pissed a lot of people off. My next pick is Farscape. Yeah, Farscape was on the Sci-Fi Channel. It was about an astronaut who he had a special module that I guess it had some kind of a special propulsion system. But anyway, it opened up a wormhole and shot him into a distant part of the universe or galaxy or something, where there are aliens, and he ended up being snatched up onto a prison ship. But it ran for, I don't know, 4 or 5 seasons, and then it ended with a finale movie. They got canceled, and then they came back and did a final movie. The West Wing was my next pick, which I don't know that it would be very interesting to you, but it was Aaron Sorkin's political drama. It was about an American president and his staff.
I was about to say, it sounds like a White House thing.
Yep, exactly. Martin Sheen played the president. He played President Jed Bartlett. And, it was about, followed him and his cabinet. And it was pretty good. I really enjoyed it.
It was like a Frost Nixon kind of movie, but TV show.
Less Frost Nixon and more just kind of Nixon. Although Jed Bartlett really wasn't Nixon. He was a president that you would root for. He was a president who had balls. It was an interesting show, but it was one of those shows where this is what it would look like if people who were in the White House actually had character and morals, which makes it a complete work of fiction. Now and Again is my next pick. That was a very short-lived show, unfortunately. I don't think it ran a complete season. And then my final pick for TV was Angel, the Buffy spinoff.
Okay.
Which was very much felt like Buffy without Buffy in it. So what music did you pick for 99?
Of 1999, I have a top 10 list. And no order. I don't have 1 to 10. I just have a list because it was a great year.
Okay.
First on the list is Scar Tissue by Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I remember that song.
Oh, yeah. I remember the music video. Have you ever seen it?
I don't think that I've seen that whole video the whole way through.
They're in the car, pretty much the whole video. They're in a car driving. But second on the list is Jay-Z, Can I Get A...
That was 99?
It was.
Huh.
What?
Had I known that, it would have made my list. It did not.
Oh, man.
I think I even looked it up.
The bass in that song is ridiculous.
Yeah, I remember the first time I heard the album version, which surprised me because I hadn't, I was actually doing a murder mystery, and the actor who played the lead character had he was either playing it in his car or he had it on a Discman or something, but I was expecting to hear, can I get a what? And then I'm hearing, no. Can I get a F you? And I was like, whoa!
That is not the lyrics.
The children. Next.
Next one is Juvenile, Back That Ass Up. Or Back That Thing Up, if you want the edited version.
Yeah, well, I've heard both.
I remember it kept saying, on the CD, it wouldn't say thing or ass. It would say back that up. It would just like a zzz sound.
Okay.
It was so annoying. My mom said, you know what? I'm buying you the CD. And she went out and bought the CD for me and said, here, play that.
Yeah, it was like back when our radio stations used to play Sexy MF by Prince. Why even bother? next.
We're going to go into Lone Star, Amazed.
Okay.
Now, they can be considered either country or soft rock.
Kind of like the Eagles used to be.
Yeah, right. Uh-oh.
Alrighty.
Now this one is country. It's George Strait, Write This Down. Everyone should know that song.
All right. Well, George Strait is a known commodity.
Yeah, I remember listening to what's his name? Garth Brooks. He was doing an interview, and he goes, "You know what really ticks him off is George Strait stands in one spot his whole concert, and I'm running around stage like a chicken with his head cut off and have half the people show up that he has."
Well, that's because George Strait is George Strait. Although Garth Brooks has no room to complain.
Yeah, Garth Brooks is a legend. So now we're getting into this kind of music that I like, but it's more of like a workout kind of like.
Okay.
And I've seen Disturbed live, and it was really good actually. So this next one is Slipknot, Wait and Bleed. I know someone will know that song immediately.
For sure.
Oh yeah. And the next one is Limp Bizkit, Nookie. Have you heard that one?
I'm sure I have.
Did it all for the Nookie? More like, I did it all for the Nookie. Yeah. This next one is Sugar Ray, Every Morning. Ow.
Did he partner with Cameo?
No, I dropped something on my foot.
Oh. Ow.
Yeah. So that's funny that happened because my next one is Korn, Falling Away From Me. That fell on me.
And you said you dropped it on your foot?
Yeah.
So you dropped it on your corns?
Pretty much. The best part of Falling Away From Me, you have to listen to it. The best part is probably about 3 minutes into it. They drop the heaviest guitar and bass at the same time.
Okay.
Yeah. It's like music in your ears. Anyway. My last one is Crazy Town, Butterfly.
I feel like I know that one.
Come, my lady. Come, my lady. You know, you're my butterfly, sugar, baby.
Another one I'll be YouTubing.
That was the last five I had are considered new metal.
Okay. Maybe not necessarily within my wheelhouse, but still, I'll give them a listen.
Oh, for sure.
Something weird that happened as I got older is I started gravitating towards music that took talent to produce.
Yeah.
Not necessarily restricted to a particular genre.
So. And what was cool, Limp Bizkit recently, he came out and said he don't advertise his stuff. He don't sell merchandise. He don't sell anything on any website. He just wanted to see how many people still gravitated towards his music. And they're still one of the hottest bands out there.
Interesting philosophy. I can respect that.
Oh, yeah. And he also produced the movie The Long Shots. The lead singer of Limp Bizkit did, Fred Durst.
Okay.
Yeah, The Long Shots has Ice Cube in as the main character. It's a comedy and football movie.
All right. Good list. Good list.
Well, thank you. So what's on your list?
Mine is much shorter. I kept it to five. And it's pretty diverse. So my first one is Mambo Number 5.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Yeah. And I was working at a electronics retailer that I shall not name at the time when that song came out. But this particular electronics retailer, always back in the TV video department, which was where I worked, had a laser disc that would loop with certain things on it.
Yeah.
And that video was one of the things that was on it. I remember this old couple was in the TV department that one of us was helping him, and that video came on. And if you remember, the video is a little racy.
Yeah.
I remember this woman was like, she's like, oh my. I cracked up. But I confess, no, didn't matter what I was doing when that video came on, I found an excuse to be in front of one of the televisions. Mambo number five. Number four, actually, I became aware of this song well after 1999, but it was released in 1999. It is a cover of Stevie Wonder's As by George Michael and Mary J. Blige.
Oh, that's a good mix right there.
It is. It is a definitely, there are not too many people that can cover a Stevie Wonder song and do it justice, but they did. And my number three pick is, I feel guilty for this one, but I don't care. I liked it. She's in the Superstition, black cats and voodoo dolls. I feel a premonition. That girl's going to make me fall. Still don't know what it is.
I like it.
You know what it is? Are you just going to try to like...
No, I was waiting for you to finish it.
No, I'm not.
Oh, go on.
Living La Vida Loca by Ricky Martin. And then Fatboy Slim, Right Here, Right Now.
Oh, dude.
I use that song. I still use that song to work out to.
That had to make the list. I just looked over it.
And then my last pick, not necessarily, these weren't in any particular order, so I don't know. I don't know that I'm considering this my top pick of 99, but Will 2K.
Will 2K.
Yeah, he sampled Rock the Casbah for Millennium.
Okay, yeah.
It's here and I like it. And the video was cool for it as well.
I'll be YouTubing that one.
Oh yeah. He's actually like time traveling through the video.
Oh no, you know that's gotta look kinda cheesy from 1999.
It's dated, but it's you know, it was well done. I mean, he had some money to throw at it, so but those are my music picks for 99.
Sad. Strong list.
Well, I'd say that 99 was definitely a good year for movies, TV, and certainly music. I could have gone with a lot more music picks.
Oh, I definitely could have went all night with them.
But yeah, those are just some of the few that I listened to.
Oh, the best part of 99, in my opinion, music wise, was Woodstock 99.
Yeah. Do you know anybody who went?
I don't know anybody that went, but I did watch it live.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we paid the $200, I think it was, $200 to watch it.
Jeez.
Yeah, I had it on VHS tape for the longest time, and I don't know what I did with it.
You better go kill somebody to get that back.
Right?
Well, I mean, if it was VHS, there's a good chance that it might have degraded. But
I've got a DVD of it now, though.
Oh, you do? Okay. Yeah. I was going to say, if you can find the VHS, maybe you can transfer it to a disc. But if you got a DVD of it, then you don't need to.
But man, that Woodstock 99, they burned down the place when Limp Bizkit played Break Stuff. Like, literally burnt down the... They had to stop the show.
Oh. So this was... The stands were filled with Philadelphia Eagles fans.
What's funny is the owner of the owner, you know, the guy that came out with Woodstock 99, I forgot his name, but he told Limp Bizkit, he said, "Do not play Break Stuff, please." And Fred Durst stuck up the middle finger, and that the song started. And that's all she wrote. That reminds me of I think it was last Super Bowl. This either the last one or the one that had Eminem, Snoop Dogg, Dr. Dre. They told Snoop Dogg not to wear anything blue. Like, don't put your blue bandana on your pants, right? He came out with a whole blue bandana outfit.
Yeah. There are just when people get to that whole level of fame and stature and got that much money in the bank, where it's just like they got that FU status.
Yeah, I mean, and it's Snoop Dogg, he's like one of the greatest artists alive, other than Eminem, of course.
Yeah, you're not going to tell him not to do something.
No.
That's funny. All right, I guess the next year is on me, so I'll put my thinking cap on and see which one we want to pull up next. But other than that, I think we're going to put this
say our goodbyes.
Yeah. Another one for the books.
Don't forget to like, comment, and subscribe. And remember to throw a lamp at a Karen and tell her to lighten up.
Nice. Okay.
Karen represents, you know, people that just...
No, I get it.
Okay.
I get it. It's not actual people name. I mean, sometimes it's actual people named Karen, but a lot of
times
it's not. Yeah,
please don't throw lamps at Karens that are named Karen that are actually nice.
No. One of the nicest women I've ever met in my life was named Karen. So,
yeah, same here. But I've also met a few nasty ones.
Yeah, I mean, it can happen. But with that, I will say X.
Why?
See you later. And we're out.
Oh man, imagine throwing a lamp at the Karen that used to beat my balls.
I hope it's a cheap lamp. Furniture's too expensive to just be throwing at people when you can just, you know, throw a stick or like a 2x4 at somebody.
Throw a lemon at them.
Yeah, right. There's a whole lot of other things you can throw besides like working furniture. You can throw a broken lamp, I guess, if you want.
Just don't pick out an expensive one. That's all we ask.
It sounds like we're advocating for violence. We're not advocating for violence.
Yes, we are. No, I'm just kidding.
We are advocating for, you know, respecting the furniture.